Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Now they're switched on.
This.
Who are you having a go at here?
Is the midweek run.
Please just call me the Oracle from now on.
Triple M rocks footy.
Sir Doug Nicholls round had Bobby Dazzling and Ash Johnson flying high, while West Coast proved the next best thing to the bye. A Clayton Oliver hammy injury capped off a dirty night for the D's, while North Melbourne are on the lookout for some interchange expertise. And yesterday, with a heavy dose of glimmer, Hunt Roads Media Centre was packed to see Dimmer, who leads the Tigers as a three-time premiership winner. Dissecting all the news and views from round 10 on Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, two-time All-Australian Joey Montagna.
Very good, Rabsy. Well done. Thank you.
Did it in one take too. Soon to be Vaffa legend Daisy Thomas.
Dimmer, winner and glimmer. Well done.
Thank you, mate. And footy's biggest newsreader, Damian Barrett.
I think you're back, Rabsy, after today. That was good.
Yeah. Oh, very
thank
good.
You, mate.
And
thank
crisp.
You.
Right on, Rabs. Good start. What's this about a Vaffa? What'd you call Daisy?
Well, the VAFA, of course, yeah. The Victorian Amateur Football Association, apparently this Saturday.
What?
Has a new player.
I can reveal this, Joey.
Oh, you're breaking some news, Damon.
Got this sent to me.
News?
Yeah, after your little rev-up you gave me last week. I got a little one of my sources to send me a screenshot of an internal document that has Dale Thomas being the newest recruit for the Old Pradians Football Club.
Wow.
Only problem is, Daze, I've then also checked this out to the point where the transfer, as we speak, from the MPNFL, Mornington Peninsula,
Sorrento Sharks,
to Vaffa, in the Old Paradiums, and its official status right now, this is to the minute.
Small hurdle to jump, Damo.
Pending.
Yeah, it's pending.
They're going to do a character check on you. Are the Sharks going to let you go?
I think they are. So obviously, I went down and helped the Sharks out playing in the twos because they were depleted of numbers. And then a mate of mine who has some stuff to do in and around the Old Paradiums over a few beers, I was sort of talking about that. And he said, well, we've got some injuries. Would you consider helping us out at some point? And, you know, after a few beers, you... Of course, mate. No dramas. Hit me up whenever. The hit me up came.
He followed you up.
So here I come. Saturday down at the Old Paradians ground in Bundoora.
Yeah, the Old Bundoora.
Big clash.
You don't do anything for a lot unless there's a lot of sheets involved. What are we talking?
This is, and I
go, I know what the rules state, Daisy.
No,
you're not meant to be
paid.
But I also know the way you operate, and I know the way that competition operates at times. What are you getting paid?
I am a nice guy. I went down and played at Sorrento. Got paid nothing. I actually lost because I was paying to get in because they were away games. $8 on the gate. And I expect the same to be happening this weekend, which did catch me a little bit by surprise when I had to sign a stat deck saying
it's
in no way
week.
You'll be this Saturday.
Oh, jeez.
So I went to training last night.
Oh, how'd you go?
It was good fun. I've got a sore knee and a sore ankle already. So I think I'm just going to just peruse the half-back flank and try and have about 40.
And who are you playing against? Who you got, do you know?
White Fries.
White
Fries. And called.
About what the D, what are you?
I think we're D1. Section one. Yep. We're very good. It might be D3.
If it's pending, if it's pending, that means you haven't paid your subs or you have a jersey from Sorrento you haven't given back.
Probably a little bit of both.
Or they've done a police and character check.
Yeah. And it's all possible. So if any of my references do get a call, I wasn't involved in that fight out the front of the nightclub in 2009. That's all hearsay.
You didn't have 5 red wines before that game for Carlton midweek?
No, so, that's true.
So Brendan Bolton's going to ring up his... He still wants an explanation. It was 25, Brendan. Move on.
Very good. A couple of famous old names from Old Paradians. I know Daniel Harford was one.
Yeah.
Benny Johnson, Parade. No, I'm not sure who else. Anyone?
Lots of good players throughout their time, though, and I can't wait to have a beer with them. This is another thing I didn't realise. You're not allowed to drink around the ground throughout the game.
No, you're not.
Very...
Which might work in your favour. The heckles might be a bit less if everyone's sober watching
your play. But I enjoy that. And it's a home ground. I thought there might be a decent enough crowd come. They might get a bit loud late in the game. But
well, hopefully you get more kicks than your mate Kane Corns. I saw some vision of him the other day.
No, he was good.
He played his local game.
What'd they lose by, Damo?
A lot. 100 something, I think it was. Yeah. He came in pretty quiet on Sunday morning on the Sunday
Did he hang around to do the... Post-match?
Well,
so the whole idea, Joey, like I did, you go to nil, you sort of get in, get amongst
it. That's the whole
have
idea.
A few
give
beers,
back to
post,
the club.
And then sit there, tell a few yarns, do a story, they have some auction items, they make some more cash for the footy club.
Yep.
Can you
I believe he told them he had some work commitments, which he did have.
Yeah, of course.
There you go.
We're all busy.
Could we try and get any footage of any for the Sunday rub? It'd be nice if Jasper, what are you doing Saturday?
No, we actually have someone who plays at Old Paradians.
Oh.
Good. Oh, Knackers. I was leading out to him last
Christian,
night.
Christian.
Oh, Chris-o.
Yes. So he said he's already going to be in a pocket waiting
for a goal from you to give a little bit of celebration. Beautiful. A little bit of Jack Ginnivan.
Oh, he's going to be watching. I thought you meant playing.
No.
If he's playing and he wants
we'll
a handball receive.
We'll get a report. So we'll get Christian to get give us a report.
I think he's
plays
reserves or third, so he'll be watching.
Okay. Good. Sounds good. But hey, Dame, another quiet week in footy.
Yeah,
as always.
We probably should get to the real story of the week, shouldn't we, reasonably soon?
Are you saying that mine pales in comparison to Damien Harwood's career?
I'm sorry. You know I've got a lot of time for you. And you've created a lot of headlines yourself, particularly in a transfer from one club to another.
Kept doing a job for 3 years.
Yeah, you did. And then I loved it when you called me out one day on social media when I was just kicking off when you felt I'd sent Mitch Cleary out to tell you something.
Yeah, and
I
that was
I might have actually.
I went. I still need to get you to reveal your source on this one. It was mid-season. I'd had a bit of trouble with the ankle, and I went to see a specialist in Sydney. And we had 4 days off, so I was going then to Fiji and hadn't told the club. So right. I went and saw the specialist. Was walking through the Qantas check-in.
That's right.
And Mitch Cleary's just jumped out with a camera.
Oh.
And I'm like, surely not. And at that time, I didn't really know who Mitch was. Yeah. No disrespect to Mitch, but he was just making his way.
But so you sprayed me
I
on camera.
I filthied right up. And he's like, oh, you know, how's the ankle? And I was dirty. And I said, why have they sent the work experience kid? Where's Damien down at Essendon?
Anyway, I think we broadcasted.
So then I had to ring Bucks and say, hey, mate, you're not going to believe this. I've just sort of changed my flight back to Melbourne via Fiji. Anyway, it's a miracle why that relationship didn't work out.
Well, we will get to your news, Damo, because it was a massive day in the AFL yesterday at Punt Road with Damien Hardwick stepping down. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
This is the Midweek Rub.
I don't think I've ever cheered so much for a football team that I don't really give a stuff about.
Triple M rocks footy.
Fairdinkum or Fugazi and your round 11 predictions still to come. But Damo, it was a huge day at Punt Road yesterday.
It was after Tom Morris extraordinarily broke the story before even Richmond players knew on the Monday night that Damien Hardwick was standing down just 10 weeks into this 2023 season. And what has transpired since and what it looks like for him, what it looks like for Richmond, what it looks like for Andrew McQualter. Let's have a chat, boys. We may as well start with the Andrew McQualter part of it, Joey, first up, given you were a teammate of his at St Kilda and he's been in the system for about 10 years as a senior assistant coach in the last few years at Richmond. And interestingly enough, got the nod as interim over both Ben Rutten and David Teague, who are also ex-senior coaches on the Richmond assistant coaches list.
Yeah, it just shows how highly he's rated internally. He's going to be a wonderful opportunity here for him to coach. I mean, he's been sought after by other clubs in recent years to come across and work for them. I think he was part of the Carlton coaching. He was one of the candidates for the coaching scenario situation at Carlton. So he's been through that experience, and I'm looking forward to seeing him have an opportunity with this group. He's clearly, he's still going to keep it the Richmond way, you would think, in regards to a lot of what they do, but certainly add his own flavour and his own voice. And he's highly regarded internally. The players love him. He's got a good balance with his knowledge and his relationships with the players. So I think he's got he's got 12 weeks now to make a good fist of it and see if he can put his hand up to be the senior coach. Some interim coaches have done the job successfully. Have they? Was Terry Wallace one that?
Yeah, Terry Wallace was one. A lot of them haven't, it must be said.
No,
that may work on the four occasions, depending on which example you want to use. Have you spoken to him since?
No, I haven't. No. Not just a text to say good luck.
I'd be keen to sort of see. I'd imagine that they'd be putting no ceiling on his potential to be the coach. I mean, it'd be quite deflating if you were to appoint him in this interim capacity, but say, we're not going to make you the lock-in.
But he'd be aware of that. I mean, he's going into this open eyes.
It's a pretty good opportunity, though.
It is a good opportunity.
Generally, when coaches step away, and their side is down the bottom and it's under big pressure, and the side, generally what you're inheriting isn't that good from a list point of view and a win-loss point of view. The Tigers are still sort of in that bracket to play finals. Well, they're going to have to do a lot right in the back half of the year, but a bit of a fresh voice, a bit of change could just be the catalyst for that.
They're not a basket case, are they?
Exactly. There's still plenty of class and plenty of good talent out there, not to mention they're backed overall by a good system.
Yeah. And yeah, John exactly. Barker was one, wasn't he? Probably the last one that had a good stint as an interim coach. Did about 15.
Reece Shaw as well. Reece Shaw. Got it at North Melbourne. And that just simply didn't work. Yeah. And David Teague was obviously in the mix. And Brendan Bolton was his exposure to coaching when Alistair Clarkson was sick in that year. I mean, similar. It got him out there and it put him out there.
He got to coach Hawthorn, who just won a couple of premierships.
And that was the unbeaten record.
If you didn't like coaching then, you're never going to like coaching. A
couple of things to take out of it too. I'm obviously Damien Hardwick. It's very rare for anyone in footy, maybe even life, to get the right to call it themselves, the end game. Yep. And he's gone early, and that's part of the legacy. It's untarnished. I mean, that club for 37 years used to just lop coaches the moment something went wrong, and he nearly was one of those names added to that list back in 2016, which is part of his story and part of their story. And to be able to have the strength, I think, to know that the time is right, but then to actually act on it as opposed to hanging around, which rarely works.
Do we think that there's a little bit of this knowing also what decisions he would have had to make at the end of the year if he did stick around and see it out in terms of maybe a Cochin, a Riewoldt? Do you think that's all part of it when you're making the decision that you don't really want to be the one to wind them up as such?
No, I don't think so at all. I think he's been honest. He knew coming into the year that he thought this would be his last year. Yep. I think we probably think it's Cochin and Riewoldt's last year. And he's thought, well, after round 10, this isn't our year. This isn't the year it's going to be. So you know what? My tank's empty. I like this line that he's cooked the sausage 1,000 ways. Yeah. He can't find 1,001 and thought, you know what, for the group's sake, it's time to get a fresh voice.
Very selfless and good.
There's a little selfish element too, where he said, I want to walk away being in a really positive space about this footy club. I don't want it to end a bit bitter and, you know, in a way that I sort of have any, negative feelings towards the footy club. So I think it's a win for everybody.
I feel he's dealt with those specific questions, Dave. I mean, he's made Cochin a sub, hasn't he? And the conversations are open with Riewoldt. I think they know where they're at. I do though, subscribe to your view about the decision being made now. Does it allow that his future to be better? And while right now he's of a view, he just needs to clear his mind and to use his word, decompress. Yep. And I'd imagine he'd be taking off overseas somewhere pretty soon and half his luck. And how jealous is everyone to be?
Ibiza,
when that's the case.
I think Dusty suggested.
He did suggest that. But 3 months down the track, you know, the competitive beast in that person is going to kick back in, and there are going to be footy clubs knowledgeable of where he's at. And I'll be surprised if he's not coaching again, full stop, but I'll be equally surprised if he's not coaching next year and how that looks. I don't like it, and I think you both know me well enough to know. I'm not one to try and sack coaches. And I think what I'm saying there, but the timeline of Stuart Dew's time at Gold Coast in his fifth season without the trajectory that he and everyone around him had been promising for some time. Now, he's still got a few matches left this year to get it right. But I think the runway for him is getting shorter and shorter by the week.
And in terms
and it would appeal.
A replacement for Dimmer long term?
I don't claim to know, because what I'll say there is, in 2014, when the Western Bulldogs moved Brendan McCartney out, no one knew that Luke Burridge was coming in until about the night before they announced it. Equally, Craig McRae was not in anyone's media narrative significantly until very late in the piece as well. So the usual suspects are there, aren't they? The Daniels, Gene Siracusa
I think where we get it wrong in the media, we just throw out the same names that everyone just regurgitates. Yeah. So really in the media, we've got no idea really the candidates
assistant coaches.
The same names
that
everyone,
for jobs.
Yeah, you watch the same names that just get rolled out, that were rolled out last time and rolled out next time. So we don't really know. But
McQuilter's a new name in
that's right.
I would not have had him coaching a club even in this capacity. Any start.
Yeah. I think Craig McRae has a lot, or they should be a lot thankful for what he's been able to do, because somewhat plucked from obscurity and then to see what that's done for the footy club gives the lesser likes a lot more opportunity when it comes to the selection process.
Do you think there's any chance that Richmond could do a Collingwood, because they've still got senior older players, their list is actually pretty good, where they have a down year, a new coach comes in and all of a sudden, bang, they could spike pretty quick, as opposed to this other narrative that they're going down a Hawthorn path and they're about to bottom out?
I could see that for sure. Yeah. I think they, as we touch on, the Tiger spirit that they so much talk about, there's a good culture there that you can really play up on, a bit like the Pies have done. The Pies didn't get it right for a fair portion of time, but close enough. Come in and just tweak a few things with a fresh face, a fresh voice.
Yeah.
You can turn around pretty quick.
Mm. Fresh. Yeah, look, wouldn't normally on this show talk milestones, but I think there's a nice storyline around the milestones this week. Toby Green, 200. Steel Sidebottom, 300. Mason Cox, 100. They've all got their own very unique storylines in footy, and it's nice to see him reach those significant points coming into round 11.
Yeah, brilliant on all facets, I guess. Mason Cox, to be an American playing 100 games of AFL footy from where he started to where he got to, pretty much single-handedly got the Pies into a grand final 1 year, which is an incredible thing to say. And even his form over the last few weeks has been solid enough. So that's fantastic. Obviously, Toby and what he's done from a little brat, so to speak, and a little bit rough around the edges to be a club captain and one of the better players in the competition, and Steel Sidebottom, who has been as consistent a player for that football club over a large period of time, ever reliable, sublime skills left and right, 300 games is an absolute shit ton of football, but he has played that very, very well.
He has. I can still remember that game as a kid in the under-18s when he kicked 10 goals on grand final day. I can still picture the beer garden, the pub I was at. I think it was the day after the AFL grand final.
And
all
you
those
were watching
ago.
The under-18 grand final.
Yeah.
You were.
I remember being on and seeing this kid kick 10 goals in full forward. That was a steel side bottom.
And then he did it on the big stage on the same day, didn't he, for Collingwood only 2 years after getting drafted. So and nearly won a Norm Smith medal on that occasion. Tasmania, look, we've been talking about it for some weeks already, and even despite the granting of the licence, it just actually day by day gets further and further away from happening.
So
and,
where does it land right now?
Well, we just update, Daisy. As of last night, the Premier who signed off on the deal, Jeremy Rockliffe, had his own authority questioned to the point where there was a spill and it required a casting vote from the Speaker of the Parliament to keep him in power. Yeah, so it was a 13-12 vote. So yeah, it's on a knife's edge, the whole system. Now, the opposition to it, the opponents to it, are yet to say they're going to pull the plan on the stadium being built, but that's the only thing they haven't done about their opposition to it. And I just keep going back to what the AFL says, and that there is not 1% of wiggle room on this. No stadium means no team.
Does the state want the actual team? Does the majority of the state want the footy? Because I mean, we're all supporting going, yeah, we want Tassie to have our own team, but if they don't really want to embrace it and get around it, why are we worrying about Tasmania?
Our answer to that is yes, but they don't realise, at least the people voicing the opposition to it, they don't realise that the team only comes with the stadium.
Yeah,
and that's what they haven't got their heads around. Okay. And look, if you are a local, I'd imagine too, they're valid points they're raising.
Yeah, they are.
Money going to that cause and not others. So I'm not judging them, but that's going to be the ramification for that view.
I spent some time in Tasmania at Bumboogle only a week or two ago and talking to a few people down there, expecting them to be genuinely excited, overwhelmed, you know, this is going to be brilliant. They were sort of like, yeah, it's good, but we have footy down here anyway from time to time. We sort of get our fix, and if we want to go to the mainland, we just duck over for a weekend and get away. So it wasn't quite the hype that I expected that we'd sort of build it up here on the mainland.
Yeah,
interesting. Just quickly, Ramsey, Geelong's injury was, I won't say catastrophic, but there might be a rung down from it with now Holmes being added to a list that's already very, very long. Dangerfield, Duncan, De Koning. Guthrie, you forget that Rowan hasn't played much at all. Yeah. Stanley, Menegola, who again is a lesser light amongst those names, but would be getting a game at a lot of other footy clubs this year. Bowser's out, and then poor old Clark, who came in for basically one quarter, has damaged a foot too. So it's eased slightly with Jack Henry coming back last week, but Holmes going down out of that game is equally problematic.
It feels like now that I think the view with Geelong has almost got to be, they've just got to get through this home and away season in some sort of, you know, in the eight somewhere. Yeah. And it's almost the old, if they get all their best players on the
roll
park
the
late in the season, we have one more crack at it for 4 weeks where we all know their best is good enough if they're all fit and healthy. So I think that's almost what we've all just got to get our head around. Mm. They're not going to be sitting on top of the ladder or first or second, probably. That they might have to come from the bottom half of the eight, but if they can get everyone back, that's what
I was having a good laugh with Billy yesterday, because everyone's saying, oh, play some of the kids, give them a chance. And as soon as the kids come in, you're like, where are the old boys? Where's the big boys? Just shows how important they still are.
Round 11 predictions still to come. But up next, it is Fair Dinkum or Fugazi and Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, Joey, Daisy and Damo.
Joey Montagna. Fair to say I do tune out when you talk.
Daisy Thomas.
It's all happening in the world of Daisy.
And Damien Barrett.
It's hard living rent-free in that guy's head.
Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
Round 11 predictions still to come. The Oracle did return in round 10. Daisy Thomas.
Around him.
But it's time for this.
Now on the Midweek Rub, it's...
Fugazi, Fugazi, it's a wazi, it's a woozy, it's a...
I'm going to start with you, Oracle. Champion data are the biggest killjoys in footy for rescinding one of Darcy Moore's intercept marks.
It's 100% fair dinkum. Could it be more nerdy just to take away, go back and watch it back and not let him have the 11 marks? We appreciate what you bring to the game, champion data, for the most part. Just let him have 11. We're all happy with 11.
You're almost, Joey.
Ash Chew is the flattest man going around. He thought he had a new world record that he could have put in his little black book that he keeps. Unfortunately, he had to scrub it out. It's only tied a record.
Joey, with two games against both West Coast and North Melbourne still to come, Essendon are a lock for finals.
Oh, that's the key word, a lock. That's Fugazi, Rabsy. If you said they're a big chance to play finals, I would say fair dinkum, but I can't say Essendon are a lock. But you're right, they've got the easiest run home of any team. They're being coached really well. They're playing pretty good footy. They are as good as anyone, a chance to make that last two spots in the top eight.
That 1 point win on the weekend could be the difference in them making it or not come the latter end of the season. So well done to them.
Damo, Taranto and Hopper have a right to be flat about getting 10 games of Dimmer as a coach?
To answer the question, it is fair dinkum, but they've both been around the system long enough to know that the world can change pretty quickly in their footy lives, and they will get on with it. But yeah, it's not what they signed up for when they came across on those massive deals, both tenure and money, with Damien Hardwick in charge.
Just on Richmond, Damo, with Dimmer stepping down, Port should extend Hinkley's contract today.
No, that is for Guzzy. I take the stance on this, that the unknown about the future for both has worked for them beautifully to this point. I think it's created an edginess to all operations, including the board, from the board down. And if they've identified at the start of the year, August, I would not be deviating off that one bit. Everyone knows what the stakes are for this, but also too, right now, they've given themselves and they've created themselves for themselves a live premiership hope.
Damo, I agree with you. And is this a lesson for other clubs that it is okay to let a coach actually play for his career and coach for his career? Because Daisy, when do players play their best footy generally? When they've got how long to go on their contract?
Not a lot. Yep.
Their last year. So I don't understand this whole premise in the past that coaches have to have security to coach at their best. No. Let them coach for their future. And then, you know, if they're doing a great job like a player, you re-sign them and go from there. And it stops making these mistakes where you extend coaches early. And then we've had all these payouts. I reckon it's been a great decision.
And also, if you say we're not speaking about it till August, don't speak about till August. Anytime you get asked, say, we've made our statement, we'll touch our base with this in August.
Which does allow you to do it
before August, but that's your positioning. And I think it's been a semi-master stroke. And I don't think anyone, maybe even Ken himself, would have thought they'd get to this stage at 8-2. But because of it, it may have happened.
And this jump at shadows about Richmond now being free, I mean, it's like a player again. If a club comes to Ken Hinckley and if Richmond come to Ken Hinckley and say, look, we're interested, all Ken Hinckley's got to do is go back to Port Adelaide and say, look, Richmond have offered me a four-year deal. Where are we at? And then Ken Hinckley can make a decision, just like any player would who's out of contract and clubs inquire about their services.
You've got to be careful how that plays out, though, because I tried to hardball the Pies with that and I ended up at the Blues. Very careful.
That's true.
Jolly, Melbourne's record and form has been overstated due to who they've played. They've beaten the Dogs, the Swans, West Coast, Richmond, North Melbourne, Gold Coast and Hawthorn.
Yeah, there's a bit of fair dinkum in that, Rabsy. Good research by you. They are struggling to beat the top teams at the moment. Rudy, I'll give you the credit. They're struggling to beat the top teams. There's something just not quite right about Melbourne when they come up against the very best. Not sure exactly what it is, but they've got a little bit of work to do if they want to win this flag.
Question for all of you. The Indigenous Guernseys for Sir Doug Nicholls Round get better every single season.
Yeah, that's fair dinkum. Mm. They are absolutely brilliant. And you love the story that in behind it too, the way the clubs have obviously embraced it, but then released to the media what it's all about and the actual meaning in behind it. That is 100% fair dinkum.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the explanations that I've absorbed this year have been great with the descriptions of what that actually is. And once you know that and you see it run out, it's fantastic.
Even to the point of the players' boots now getting painted. We saw Craig McRae and Michael Voss have their shoes painted. So, no, it's brilliant.
Daisy, you are the Oracle, but I'm going to ask Joey, because you were Oracle last week. I'm going to play some audio, and Ethan Meldrum will never be stated as an Oracle after this.
RIA around the ground. Zeke, what's happening at Marvel?
Goal to Harry Sheasel. North Melbourne lead by 16 points. 10 minutes in the last quarter. Of course, the Swans, we know, need to win that game, but North Melbourne getting it done at the moment.
You calling it, Eth? Is it over?
Yeah, I may as well.
Oh, he's called it. He's called it North at home.
Massive. Around the ground, Zeke. Tell us what's happening. Yeah, full time in that game. Sydney win by 3 points over North.
Enough of the year.
No, I'm sticking up for Ethan here. I think he's got every right. He's the numbers and everything he was looking at was proof and was correct. They were going to win that game, except for the interchange steward.
Well, the numbers didn't work on that occasion.
No, those numbers didn't work. That's right. So
76 was too many than 75.
He was on the money, Ethan. Unfortunately, the interchange steward mucked it up, cost Ethan being the Oracle.
There's no one happier than Ash Chua, because Chua has been horrible since Gather Round. About to get the flick, and now he just bought himself some time.
I'll play some audio demo, but the question to you is, he's only been a full-time member for 10 weeks, but Steve Johnson has already cemented his place in Triple M footy history with this iconic moment.
Scotty, how's Harry McKay sort of handled the criticism that's been come his way during the week? Criticism.
Oh, I'm the Collingwood coach. I'm the Collingwood coach.
If you go into the other room and find out for us, that'd be great.
I just seen Bossy walk past you and I thought, you just ask.
That is fair dink, yeah. What I love when I keep hearing that back is he thought the laughter initially was being generated because of his use of the word criticism. Yes. So he backed over criticism, not knowing what was about to come. I can only wish on behalf of all of us if Spud was still with us, because he would not have survived this week.
What Spud would have been the most proud of is that Daisy, myself and Brownie all looked at each other. We knew Stevie J was drowning.
And
he was drowning and we just let him drown.
Because he was good with the pylon, Spud.
Daisy Hawthorne's 116-point win over West Coast emphatically refutes Damo's allegations of tanking.
No, that's Fugazi. So this is a win that buys the more losses come the back half of the year.
So, imagine I said that.
Yeah,
I love it. I love the fact you have, though.
That's my take on it. For what it's worth. Am I in trouble?
No.
No, I love it.
Damo, Tom Morris should have allowed Richmond to tell their players before breaking the dimmer news.
Please, Rabsy. Fugazi.
No. Full stop.
Well, I can't even believe that we in the media are allowing this conversation to generate and infiltrate media talk. It's just a no-brainer. He got the story right, which is only obligation, and he made the club aware that he was going to do it in advance. He didn't even have that obligation if you really want to put the fine tooth comb on it, but he did. So he's done absolutely everything right. And anyone, I don't care who you are, anyone who thinks that he did the wrong thing by going with it, you got no idea.
This is what happens when we react to people's comments on social media, like nuffies that comment or people that have got no idea that think that, you know, he's done the wrong thing. We're replying to those comments. I mean, I don't know why we engage in that.
Great get
by Tom Morris.
Fantastic.
First back and just bang.
Yeah.
Biggest story of the
Certainly of the year. I would have thought
since the Essendon drug saga.
Well, just on, I mean, Cal Toomey broke a great story late last year when Brett Ratten was moved on by St Kilda. But, I mean, to think that that's an exclusive in a coach movement story being trumped pretty significantly just because of the name and the club and the way it happened mid-season, it's huge.
Finish with you, Daisy.
Yes, let's go.
You work with the man on Sunday. Not last Sunday. He took the day off for a fun run. But Jay Clark sometimes needs to slow down and let his brain catch up with his mouth.
Hey, Limo, coming up next, the Saturday Rub. We live from midday with JB, Bernie Vince, Billy Brownless, Damien Barrett at Marvel Stadium. But I'll be joined by Cam Zuha, live in the box ahead of North Melbourne versus Sydney game. There's a lot to unpack in this one. My voice has absolutely packed it in. Thanks for putting up with me. It is Jay, Joey, Cat. We missed... Joey, Jay, Lemo and Cap. We miss. Oh, my God.
A special shout-out to the Zuha.
I've forgotten your question because that was so long-winded and made absolutely zero sense. If it's something about him taking a breath, that is 100% fair. Just succinct. I think he asked Chris Fagan a 61-second question only 2 weeks ago. We don't need our questions to be that long. Take a breath. It's all good.
We love Jay-Z, but
his
brain gets on a hamster wheel, doesn't it, Joey?
It does.
You're very quiet over there.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were wrapping up this one. We're getting ready for the last break.
No, we are. Round 11 predictions coming up next. Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That can be described as one thing and one thing only. That is a genuine brain fart.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Your round 11 predictions coming up, but let's have a look back at round 10, starting with you, Joey.
I think the Dogs at Ballarat get it done. They're my certainty.
Got it done pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Never in doubt.
Damo?
Here's my certainty of the round, the Tigers. I love what they did in round 9. I just reckon there's enough for them to think they're going to cause some damage. Now, whether that means they make the finals or not, they're going to cause some carnage along the way, and I reckon they'll back it up against Essendon.
Did cause some carnage, all right? The coach has gone.
Yeah. Well, they did lose a game by 1 point in the last kick, but yeah.
And Daisy.
My certainty, Sydney to roll over North.
Daisy Thomas is.
You guys started talking. I was going to explain that there was going to be an interchange in Frenchman Lane, but you guys wrapped me up too quick.
They were $1.04, and they shouldn't have won.
But they did.
Righto. Sydney versus Carlton kicking off round 11. That is a huge game at the SCG, Damo.
Oh, well, I was asked for a tip on this 2 days ago, and I said Carlton, but now that it's Wednesday afternoon, I'm going for Sydney.
Ooh.
I think Sydney get the job done. As badly as they are going, I'm worried about Carlton. And I just think there's a bit more dynamic work in the midfield of the Swans. Having said that, it's been down. But Carlton's just about shot.
Carlton have to win this game if they're going to make anything of their season. They have been so frustrating over the last month. I expected so much more from them last weekend. Mm. I give them one last chance in this one. I want them to come out and play with some passion, some hunger, as if the game bloody means something. And I feel that that probably didn't happen in the first quarter last week. So I expect them to come out and I will be tipping Carlton.
Carlton are my certainty in this one. Carlton are my certainty. Oh, I think that Sydney are the team that are really struggling. Their profile's horrible. Carlton, as you said, it's a must-win game. I think they'll bash them up around the midfield. Too big and too strong. Contested ball clearance game in the small SCG confines. And I don't think Sydney can defend Harry Mackay and Charlie Curnow. If Carlton don't win this, then I'm completely off them. But I've got still a tiny... just a flicker of faith in them, Damo, and I think this is the week they start to get rolling.
I've never done this. I'm changing that to after what he just said, right? I'm going back to what I said earlier in the week. I'm tipping Carlton for the record on this one.
I said Carlton could win 9 of 13 coming home, so this would be one they have to win.
Yeah. One word answer, Saints or Hawks?
Saints, Max King back.
Saints.
Saints.
Melbourne versus Fremantle. This is a huge game at the G now with Clayton Oliver to miss.
And Lachie Hunter as well. Mm. A couple of important players. Luke Jackson going up against his former side. I'd love to see him and Brody
Brayshaw
Grundy.
Brayshaw back in form as well.
Go at it.
For the Dockers.
Andy Brayshaw. Andy, yeah, the midfield are flying. Jager O'Meara. They are flying in the midfield. So it's going to be a test for Melbourne. I'm tipping Fremantle as my, what do we call it? The upset. Our outsider, mm-hmm. our roughy.
Surprise.
I think Fremantle can get the job done against Melbourne.
I'm going for Melbourne just.
I'll be with Damo.
Can the Giants get over the injury-depleted Cats at GMHBA Stadium?
Well, could they run them off their legs? I haven't put enough thought into this game, but with all those injuries, Geelong are really struggling to cover the ground. Can the Giants run them off their legs? It's hard with any faith to tip the Giants.
To answer the question, yes, they can.
Could they? I don't know if they will. Probably not.
No.
Geelong will find a way.
They've won their last two against the Cats at GMHBA, the Giants. That was a stat when doing my research I didn't think I'd come across. However, I'll be tipping the Cats.
Yeah,
me too.
Cats.
The Gold Coast are very good at home, but they are coming up against the Dogs in really good form.
This one's in Darwin, though, up in TIO. So
it is similar conditions to the Gold Coast, is what Rabsy was meaning.
Same dimensions.
Yeah. Does the handball game in those conditions affect the Dogs?
It was pretty wet down at Ballarat on the weekend.
And they throw up anyway, Joey, so it doesn't really matter.
Dogs are flying.
Dogs for me.
One-word answer, West Coast or Essendon?
Oh, I can see an upset here.
Hey?
Nah, tricking Essendon.
Richmond, Port Adelaide, now a huge game as well at the MCG on Sunday.
Here's my certainty of the round, Port Adelaide.
Oh, really?
Going against the emotion that will be at play clearly for the first game of the Richmond era without Damien Hardwick. But I love what Port Adelaide's done, and I reckon they'll actually use that Damien Hardwick component to this game for their own effect.
I usually don't subscribe to the emotional response too much because after a quarter and a half, it comes back to system. However, as we touched on, I think Richmond have a big enough system that if they can get a spike on the emotion, the system can then take them home. I'm going to tip Richmond in an upset.
Take the weight off their shoulders, Andrew McWalter. Just tell them to go and play and do what they've always done. I'm going to go with Richmond, more with my heart. Hopefully Andrew McWalter gets off to a good start rather than my head, but Tigers.
One word answer in Side Bottom's 300th, Collingwood or North Melbourne?
Yeah, Magpies.
Collingwood.
By how much? Daisy, pick a number.
78.
Points.
Yep.
Well, okay. Goals.
Well, you never know. And finally, Adelaide versus Brisbane. Another huge game. Adelaide Oval. Jack Payne out. Tex Walker back in.
Game of the round.
I'm going for the Crows. They're 5-5, obviously, after the 10 rounds. Outside of last week, I reckon their previous 9 weeks were really impressive. I'm just going to back them in from what I saw in those previous 9 weeks. And, yeah, Adelaide to beat Brisbane for me.
Brisbane for me. I don't think I've given my certainty either. I'll give Collingwood my certainty.
Oh, no, Daisy. You're not keeping the oracle with that. Adelaide, if they were playing any other team, I'd probably tip the Crows. I'd give them a mulligan last week. But Brisbane are flying. They are the most informed team in the comp at the moment. So I'm going to say Brisbane.
All right, you can hear every single game across Round 11 on Triple M and the Listener app, starting with the Friday Huddle live at 6 p.m. with Mark Howard, Luke Darcy, Jason Dunstall, Nathan Brown, Damian Barrett before Sydney versus Carlton at the SCG. This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub. Joey, Daisy and Damo.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub with Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett. Follow Triple M Footy on socials to get the latest news and highlights. And to live stream games or listen anytime, download the Listener app, LISTNR.